Hello everyone, I'm Sahan Jayasuriya. I'm the music writer here at Third Coast Daily. Welcome to episode 2 of Comparing Notes. It's a brand new podcast where we put two writers in a room together and let them show what they know with each other. I'm here with managing editor Matthew Redden.
Hey there, Sahan.
And senior editor Tom Strini.
Hi, Sahan.
We're here on the occasion of Mozart opening up at the Milwaukee Symphony on May 3rd, and on the very same night, Sondheim's A Little Night Music at Windfall Theater. What's the relation? Let's find out.
Thanks, Sahan. Well, I guess the one that makes sense is the name of A Little Night Music, which is taken from a Mozart piece called Eine kleine Nachtmusik.
Is that good enough German? Which means?
A Little Night Music.
Right. I don't think that was a coincidence or an accident. Sondheim went to Juilliard. He knew all of music history as well as anybody. And I think he's pointing at Mozart. And I don't think he's pointing so much at Eine kleine Nachtmusik itself, which is a serenade, the serenade number 13, a sort of light evening piece that is, in a way, embodies everything that pure classicism stands for. It's all very clear in its structure and its unfolding. The materials are relatively simple. It's a sort of a sunny piece that's all about restraint and order. And yes, it's a little bit complicated emotionally. Clouds go over the sun. Essentially, it's sunny music.
Yeah. Let's give it a listen so you can hear what we're talking about here.
A Little Night Music. There you heard the first theme, this sort of very brisk, bright...
Yeah, that's the one that people recognize, you know, the familiar one.
Yeah, right.
Okay, interesting. Well, A Little Night Music doesn't stay tethered down to that for long. I mean, it's a very orchestral piece. You know, it doesn't have a rhythm section in the orchestra. It's got violins, strings. But the whole setup of it is kind of this very orchestral feeling, an homage almost to that.
It's a cut above your typical Broadway musical in terms of its compositional ambition, its structure, the way he conceives a melody, the way he couches the voices against the orchestra. He is really thinking like an opera composer. And as I started looking at this musical, which is based on...
It's based on an Ingmar Bergman film, actually. It's titled Smiles of a Summer Night. And it's actually, I'll go into a little bit of the plot structure before we talk about the music more. It's a little soap opera-y in a way. It's got basically two different families or collections of people. There's the lead actor, Frederick, who's just married a young girl named Anne. Unfortunately, Anne won't sleep with him after 11 months, possibly because she's in love with his son, Henrik, who is her age. There's kind of that secret love affair tension. The other problem in the play is that there's also this former leading actress type, Desiree, who once upon a time had an affair with Frederick, secretly had a daughter, and they come into conflict again at the beginning of the play.
Well, that kind of plotting really is very much like the plot of Mozart's Marriage of Figaro, which is based on a Beaumarchais play, a French comedy. This is a comedy of relationships, a comedy about social order, in a way.
Interesting.
So many of these things are really about behaving in the proper way. And Mozart was an Enlightenment figure. He was a Mason. And he believed in progress and in adjusting the social order. Unlike the French radical Enlightenment people, he didn't want to just blow up the structure. His argument was, if everybody just did what they were supposed to, if we would all rein in our appetites a little bit, the system will work just fine. Now, what happens in Marriage of Figaro is Count Almaviva doesn't do what he's supposed to do. He decides he's going to bed down Susanna, one of his wife's handmaiden, actually, according to some ancient rite he imagines exists, before she marries Figaro. And the rest of the what happens in the action of it is Susanna Figaro, and particularly the Countess. The Countess Alma Viva, Rosina, in the prequel to it, plot in all sorts of comic ways to frustrate Alma Viva's plan, and that's where the comedy arises. Mm-hmm. It's a farce in a way,
yeah.
And so is
A Little Night Music. Yeah. I mean, you've got all this plotting. I mean, at one point in the story, there's also a count and a countess in A Little Night Music, and at one point, Desiree has been sleeping with the count. And so Frederick and the Countess decide they're going to sleep together, kind of, you know, to get back at them. And, you know, there's a lot of underpinning machinations involved in that.
And this finds its way into musical expression. In Marriage of Figaro, it's a very fast-moving, and if you do it right, very funny, light opera, opera buffa. There's a teenage, horny teenage boy who's chasing the countess who keeps swatting him away like a pesky mosquito, and the count is trying to catch him at this, and at one point Carabino, the teenager, dives over a balcony and lands in a rose bush in order to avoid being discovered chasing after the countess. And so there's all of these crazy plots being mm-hmm. hatched, and the movement is frantic, but at one point in this opera, everything just stops, and we find the Countess alone in her bedroom, thinking things over and wondering, where are the days? Where is the man I married? Dove sono? Now I am reduced to plotting with my maid in order to frustrate his lust, his disruptive lust. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, you fall in love with the Countess, and you realize that all these hijinks are one thing, but at the bottom of it, there's real human pain, and there's real betrayal, and that aria has to be exquisitely sung, and it just changes your whole feeling about all the action that takes place after this aria near the end of Act 3. Let's hear just a little bit of Dove Sono.
Okay. And then what does Dove Sono, you said? What does that mean?
Where are the days?
Okay.
The days gone by when he didn't pull this sort of stuff.
Right.
And everybody in the audience who would have seen that would also know the prequel to it,
mm-hmm.
In which Alma Viva went to extraordinary lengths to win her hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another farce. But this is years later when the thrill is gone and now he's back to his womanizing ways.
Okay. You know, that's actually really interesting because in A Little Night Music, the Countess there also gets a similar song. She sings this song when she's talking to Anne, the young girl that Frederick has married, and she's telling her about his meeting with Desiree and kind of their back history. And that song is called Every Day a Little Death. And I can just play a little bit of that here for you as well.
So this is Sondheim's Dove Sono.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every day a little death. In the parlor, in the bed. In the curtains, in the silver, in the buttons, in the bread. Every day a little sting. In the heart and in the head. Every move and every breath, and you hardly feel a thing, brings a perfect little death. He smiles sweetly, strokes my hair, says he misses me. I would murder him right there, but first I die. He talks softly of his wars and his horses and his whores. I think love's a dirty business, so do I. I'm before him on my knees and he kisses me. He assumes I'll lose my reason and I do. Men are stupid, men are vain. Love's disgusting, love's insane, a humiliating business. Oh, how true. Oh, well.
So you can kind of hear there that kind of similar, you know, longing for the days gone by before this everyday little death.
Right. And of course, both of these, the song and the aria, are about a guy who is not fulfilling his proper role mm-hmm. in the social order
right.
and is therefore disrupting everything. That applies to a very different opera also.
Okay.
And that is Idomeneo.
Okay.
Now, Idomeneo is an opera seria, sort of in an older style. Mm-hmm. It comes from a few years before Marriage of Figaro. And but in Idomeneo, which the Milwaukee Symphony will play pieces of Idomeneo, they'll play the overture and one of the dances from it. And what happens in Idomeneo is he's a king. He's off on a military adventure. Mm-hmm. He is caught in a storm on the way home and promises the god Neptune that he will make a sacrifice of any person he sees if he will only be spared. So all of his other crew dies in this shipwreck. He gets washed up on the beach.
Right.
And who's the first person he sees walking along the beach but his own son? Okay. So, you know, this is not necessarily a good thing.
Right.
And he dodges it.
Okay.
And so the entire society is disrupted mm-hmm. because of it. Yeah, this is a classical theme that pops up again and again. And there's even some of it in another piece that's on the Milwaukee Symphony program. And that's the suite from Rosenkavalier, from Richard Strauss, which, of course, is 20th century.
Right.
But that refers back to the operettas where somebody isn't doing what he's supposed to. Mm-hmm. But in the end, everything works out. And in the end, everything pretty much works out in
right.
Rosenkavalier also because everybody retakes mm-hmm. their proper place and they do what they're supposed to.
Right.
And that's also the case in Idomeneo, which the Florentine did a very interesting production of it about a year ago. And everything in this points toward a tragic ending, but really, at the end of the day, people step up.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do step up, Neptune cuts everybody some slack,
okay.
which the Greek gods didn't do that often.
You know?
So it's funny how Sondheim, Mozart, musical, opera, suites drawn from mm-hmm. operas, and excerpts from opera all sort of tie in on May the 3rd.
There's just this overarching kind of theme of that, you know, where people don't do what they're supposed to, and once they start doing what they're supposed to, everything works out in the end. Yeah.
Exactly.
One thing that we haven't brought up with A Little Night Music is, again, that orchestral feeling. One thing that Sondheim uses a lot, but especially in this piece, is counterpoint, when you have more than one song and that they fit together even though they don't sound like they're supposed to. And one of the first, well, I guess three of the first songs in A Little Night Music really play into that. It's a suite called Now, Later, Soon. That's sung by Frederick, Heinrich, and Anne, the three principals in that family. Frederick wants to have sex with his wife now. Heinrich is always being told that he will get to blossom later. And Anne is saying, soon I will have sex with you. That sounds a little crass as it's said, and it can be done a little crass as it's played too, because that's how Sondheim works.
But that's how life is.
That's how life is, and that's how Sondheim is. And just to give you kind of a sense of that counterpoint, again, he's written three completely different songs here. If we had more time, I'd play them all for you, but they're all 3 or 4 minutes, you know, all together.
Sure.
But the way he's done them, when you put those three songs together, what you get is this really interesting blend of the three that just fits together just right. Let's hear a little of that.
Now, as the sweet imbecilities tumble so lavishly onto her lap.
Oh, Frederick, what a day it's been. An ending drama. While Pedro's...
Now, there are two possibilities. A, I could ravish her. B, I could nap.
That grumpy old Miss Nordstrom from next door. Her sister's coming for a visit.
Say, it's the ravishment then we see. The option that follows, of course.
Do hope I'm imperious enough for the servants. I try to be, but half the time I think
they'll laugh. A, the deployment of charm. Or B, the adoption of physical force.
And Amalia jabbering on
now
for hours.
Now, might arouse her, but if I assume my trip on my trouser, they cross in the room.
I can't tell you how boring it was.
Her hair getting tangled, her stays getting snapped. My nerves would be jangled, my energy sapped.
You should have seen Mrs. Erling in the fishmonger.
Removing her clothing would take me all day, and her subsequent clothing would turn me away. Which eliminates B, and which leaves us with A.
Could you ever be jealous of me? Could you? Like the Moor of Venice?
Now, insofar as approaching it, what would be festive but have its effect?
Shall I learn Italian? I think it'd be amusing if the verbs aren't too irregular.
Now, there are two ways of broaching it. A, the suggestive, and B, the direct.
But then French is a much chicer language. Everyone says so. Parlez-vous
Say that I settle on B, to wit, a charmingly lecherous mood.
I know you like my hair this way, but on top of my head, like a siren.
A, I could put on my nightshirt or sit disarmingly B in the nude.
Oh, Frederick, you should have seen
that
the great arrival.
That might be effective. My body's all right, but not in perspective and not in the light.
Poor Henrik, how comical.
I'm bound to be chilly and feel a buffoon, but nightshirts are silly in mid-afternoon.
Why are virtuous people so stiff?
Which leaves the suggestive, but how to proceed. Although she gets restive, perhaps I could read. In view of her penchant for something romantic, dishonest and trenchant and Dickens too frantic, and Stendhal would ruin the plan of attack, as there isn't much blue in the red and
it's
the
black. It's pretty sophisticated. Mm-hmm. I give Windfall props for being willing to take that on.
Yep.
That's not easy. It's not easy to sing. It's not easy to write. Sondheim is not your average Tin Pan Alley composer. Mm-hmm. This is Juilliard school sophistication you're hearing right there.
And then one other thing I want to mention before we kind of move on from A Little Night Music is the one song that everyone knows when they hear A Little Night Music, which is called Send in the Clowns. Especially in New York, it's kind of become a cabaret standard. And the story behind that song is actually that it wasn't in original versions of the musical when Sondheim was working on it. The actress playing Desiree, whose name was Glynis Johns in the original production.
I remember her.
The part was written actually kind of not to be a singing role, kind of this, you know, wizened actress who, you know, didn't have that musical background. But when Sondheim found out that she could sing, she just didn't have kind of a Broadway voice.
And that big sustained note, right?
Right. Yeah. He wrote her this piece specifically for her, which she kind of had a thready voice. You'll hear it on the clip when we play it. And she can't sustain phrases, so he writes her a song where instead of having long, you know, held out notes with big vowels, they all end on consonants, they're very clipped, and you get this kind of really well-conceived, cynical, jaded look at, you know, her future and how her life has gone and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's play a little bit of that.
Isn't
And one of the other distinctive things you kind of heard there is that waltz beat, and everything in A Little Night Music is a waltz. That's kind of the overarching theme, but that's really the one that you hear pick out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's another relation to, say, Rosenkavalier, which is also very much part of this, mm-hmm. and Richard Strauss's sort of nostalgic look at old Vienna and its mm-hmm. and its waltz culture from a longer view. Well, let's wrap everything up here.
Okay.
I want to also mention that the Milwaukee Symphony will be playing Till Eulenspiegel's Merry Pranks, another Strauss piece,
okay.
and the Mozart Violin Concerto No. 5, and they're bringing in a very exciting young violinist. He's still in his early 20s, Augustin Hadelich, and this will be his Milwaukee Symphony debut. I've listened to a number of recordings, and I think this is really going to be something. And I also want to point out another young musician who's involved here, and that's the MSO's own assistant conductor, Francesco Lecce-Chung, who has been here now a couple of years and has made a big impression, and the Milwaukee Symphony is giving him more and more to do, including the whole Basilica series. So I think he will be able to do really quite a good job with all this. Those concerts are coming up at 11:15 a.m. on Friday. It's one of the matinees. And at 8 p.m. on Saturday, on the 3rd and 4th of May, at Marcus Center Eline Hall.
And Windfall Theater, again, will be performing A Little Night Music. They'll be opening that, again, Friday night. You can actually catch both of them the same day because A Little Night Music opens at 8 p.m.
Exactly.
All their shows are actually at 8 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, with a Thursday performance on May 16th and a Pay What You Can on May 13th. That's a Monday. Tickets for that are $20. To order, just go to windfalltheater.com. That's WINDFALL. theatre.com. Once again, thanks for listening, and we'll look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Great. Thanks, Matthew.